This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. Boker Tov. I hope you weren't offended by my diatribe. And if you were, then, you know, I suppose you can always shout back, right? Because that's what we do.
Boker Tov. Well, I wasn't offended, Howard, but I will shout back even so.
Good.
Because I think there is a discussion to be held around what you said. I think that on the one hand, the first thing I need to say, someone who lives in Israel, is we need to listen to people like you, definitely. And I think that there is always a place for criticism, for constructive criticism, and always a place to listen to views from outsiders, because when you're in the moment and when you are accustomed, become accustomed to that particular way of speaking and dealing with people, unfortunately, we become a little bit blind to it. And it does take an outside view to say, hang on a second, some of this is really not okay. And if you were to improve the way that you treat each other, then things might be a little better and we might be able to get through to each other. So I think there is certainly a place to hear and to listen, and particularly for people who come here who are not part of our system, who come here and want to support Israel and want to feel welcome. If they are being treated in a way that doesn't make them feel welcome, that makes them feel attacked, that makes them feel like they're not being respected, then that deserves a great deal of attention and improvement. Having said all of that, there is another side to this argument. And of course, the other side is that Israelis are notoriously people who are very single-minded and who don't care a great deal for what outsiders think, because they would say that is what has allowed us to survive through thick and thin in miraculous ways. When the rest of the world was shouting, you need to go left, we decided to go right, and that's what saved our skins, and that's what saved the Jewish people, and that's what saved the Jewish country, because their intentions were not the same as ours, and we are going our own path. And so there is an element of that, and there is an element of Israelis are called sabras. A sabra is a prickly pear. And the reason that they're called sabras is because the prickly pear has the hard exterior with the thorns. And that's the bit that you were feeling and seeing and hearing when you were here. And if you care just to open the skin and try and get rid of the thorns and to get rid of that exterior, you will find quite a tasty, juicy, attractive fruit.
Unfortunately,
inside.
Though, Anthony, that hasn't worked for Israel right now, and that was my point, is that a lot of what we're seeing going on is because all we're seeing and all Israelis are showing each other, forget me as an outsider, all they're showing is each other is that prickly pear. And until they actually get to that interior, these problems aren't going to be resolved.
So I agree to a large extent, and we did see some of that yesterday, certainly. And you know, let's try and take it to the events that took place yesterday, because we certainly do live in interesting times and very significant times. And I, when I came to live here, never ever dreamed that I would see the events that I saw yesterday or the events of the last few days and weeks. I never dreamed that this would come here. And there are a lot of criticisms that we could take, things that could have been done better, could have potentially avoided the situation that we're in right now. But I think there's also a lot of positives that we can take. And I'd like to start with one positive, and I'd like to address this particularly to the Jews outside of Israel who are looking in at this and thinking, what the hell is going on there, and why are people treating each other with such disrespect, and why isn't there a forum where people can listen to each other and find a middle ground and find a compromise and go down a path which is mutually respectful and ultimately gives everybody a little bit of what they want, but potentially not everything that they'd hope for. And so one of the positives that I've taken out of this process is that the Jews, the people of Israel, really do care about what happens here. They really care, and they've shown how they care by coming out of their houses and standing on the streets and demonstrating and calling general strikes and making their voices heard, because they really do care. Nobody will be allowed to get away with whatever they want without people standing up and saying, hang on a second, that's not okay. We are not just going to allow this to happen on our watch. And there have been many parallels drawn with some of the events that have happened in Poland, where the Polish people have stood up and said, while the government was trying to change the judicial process and while the government was trying to change some of the real beacons, the real foundations of our democracy, people stayed home and kept quiet. And as a result of that, now we find ourselves in a situation that we really hate and we have nothing to say or do because it's a done deal. And so the people of Israel are not allowing that to happen. They are not allowing the basic foundations of their democracy to be changed. And people will come out on the street and make themselves heard, even if many of those people are ones who actually voted for this government. Even supporters of this government have come out and said, this is a step too far, and we need to stand up and make our voices heard. And so for people outside of Israel, have a look and see that we here in Israel do really care about what goes on, and we won't simply allow people to do things which are beyond what they have been elected to do or are across the red lines. And I think that that's a very, very positive thing. And so many friendships have been formed in this opposition to the process. People who otherwise might not have had anything in common with each other have come out and have demonstrated and got their flags out. And the pride that I felt in seeing people standing on the street in their tens of thousands, and we saw it outside the Knesset yesterday, up to 100,000 people outside of the Knesset yesterday, everybody with what? With their Israeli flag. That is the beacon. That is the thing that we are all demonstrating for and that people are using to show what they feel. It's that Israeli flag that people are holding in their hand and saying, this is what we care about and this is why we are here. And this is why there was a general strike called in the economy yesterday. And this is why the airport was shut down yesterday. And this is why banks and schools and even McDonald's decided to close all their shops yesterday. All the shopping malls across Israel were closed yesterday afternoon in support of the general strike. For the first time in Israel's history.
The country completely shut down. It's phenomenal, actually.
It really did. And this was people's way of saying, we do care. We do care. We are not just going to allow things to happen without control. We do care. And it was the first time in Israel's history that the major labor union called a general strike across the economy with the support of all the chiefs of industry, all the major CEOs of the big companies, all the retail industry supported the general strike by the major labor union yesterday. The first time that has ever happened in Israel's history. And we hope it will be the last time, because we hope that this won't need to happen again. But people really do care, and they came out in their hundreds of thousands yesterday to show this across Israel, just 100,000 outside the Knesset in Jerusalem, many tens of thousands in Tel Aviv and across the rest of Israel demonstrating against what was going on. So let's go through what rolled yesterday. And I was in touch with you during some of the day, just kind of discussing some of the things that were happening. But we had expected the Prime Minister to come out in the morning and make a statement after those very, very eventful events of Sunday night, when he announced that the Minister of Defense would be fired from his job, and people came out onto the streets spontaneously to protest against that and to protest against the judicial reforms. And we were expecting to hear from the Prime Minister. He announced he was going to come on TV at 8 o'clock, and then at 8:30, and then at 9, and by 10 o'clock we still hadn't seen him, and then we were running into midday in the afternoon, and finally He appeared on TV just after 8 last night. And he
was... What was going on with him all day? Because he seemed to be running from pillar to post in an act of absolute desperation to try and keep this together. I actually thought he must be exhausted by the end of the day.
They were talking about the fact that he was up until 4 o'clock on Sunday night, and then he was back in his office in Jerusalem at very, very early hours yesterday morning, holding meetings, trying to keep his government together, because I think that he was trying to work out whether he should accept the defense minister, he should continue to fire the defense minister, whether he should pull back on the reforms. Members of his government were saying, if you pull back on the reforms, we're out. We're going to pull the government down. In particular, that comment was attributed to Itamar Ben-Gvir, who said, if you pull back on the reforms, we are walking from this government and will effectively drop the coalition and bring the government down. So I think the prime minister yesterday was doing two things. One was trying to hold his coalition together, and he managed somehow to buy Itamar Ben-Gvir, even though ultimately he did say that he was freezing the process of the reform, which is what Ben-Gvir was hoping not to hear. But he did manage to buy Ben-Gvir. Apparently he's offered him the possibility of creating a national guard. We'll talk about that separately at another time. But that was, I think, what the price was for keeping him in the coalition. And he was also trying to get supporters of the right-wing coalition out on the streets. That was apparently one of the big objectives for yesterday, to try to counter these huge anti-reform demonstrations that were going on across Israel. There was massive work that went down yesterday to try and get right-wing supporters out on the streets. They've essentially been absent from the public for the last 12 weeks while these demonstrations against the reforms have been building on the streets of Israel. And they finally came out late yesterday. And the reason why it was said that the prime minister only came onto TV after 8 o'clock was because he wanted to allow that demonstration to form with his protesters, with his supporters out on the streets, to then say in his speech, which of course he did, how proud he is of them and how wonderful it was that they came out so spontaneously without any organization, without any communication.
Right. Well,
required.
I mean, it wasn't exactly spontaneous, was it?
It really wasn't. I mean, you know, just a few words. But the speech in general that he delivered yesterday was very much delivered to the right wing. He was highly critical of people disobeying orders in the military. This was a shot against Gallant to confirm that he wasn't going to reinstate Gallant. I thought it was a little disparaging, because the people who were refusing orders and refusing to come to reserve duty are generally people who do reserve duty out of volunteerism. They're not necessarily forced to do so. And these are people who have served Israel as a reserve soldier and as a regular soldier for many, many years, who are now standing up and saying, hang on, I don't want to do reserve duty because I'm opposed to what's going on. I think his comments against the disobeying of orders was a little disparaging and really didn't have much place. And I think it was also quite critical of the general staff and the chief of general staff in particular, because they've been tolerating these so-called people who've disobeyed orders. But of course, disobeying orders in the military is a slippery slope, and we understand that, and that really needs to be pulled back now. But generally, he said enough when he said he's going to freeze the process of the reform for now. He wants to pass the reforms during the summer session of the Knesset, which is until, I suppose, June of this year. But in the meantime, there will be dialogue. The president has already reached out to the leaders of the major parties to call them to dialogue at his residence. So the fact that he decided to freeze the reform was enough to get the leaders of the unions and everybody else back to say, let's get the economy back working again. Let's move ahead. I thought he could have done a little better in his speech to try to be more inclusive of the opposition, but his speech was clearly directed at the right wing, at his coalition members, at the right wing supporters, and was fairly disparaging of other people, but clearly did enough, at least for now, to get Israel back working again. And it will be very fascinating to see where things go.
So just to be clear, what is the situation now with the defense minister?
The defense minister officially was fired and has been fired. And I understand that Avi Dichter has now been appointed in place of Yoav Gallant as the new minister of defense.
Okay, so much still to talk about, but there is still tomorrow, so we're going to have to pick this up then. It's so much to unpack and to try and figure out. Jonathan says flags in Israel is a very good business at the moment. And Jonathan, you say that tongue in cheek, obviously, and it's funny, but the reality is that is something as well that is worth noting, is that you look at these protests for the reform, against the reform, for the government, against, and you don't see burning of flags, you see people waving Israeli flags. Think about it here. When you have an EFF march against government, nobody's carrying South African flags. They're wearing their red. They're about themselves. They aren't about the country. And I think it's worth considering that. It's 8:01. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.